Welcome to this 34 lesson series on building Windows Store apps using C Sharp. My name is Bob Tabor, and for over 10 years I've created screencast training on my own website, learnvisualstudio.net, to help beginners get up to speed quickly with building .NET applications. The team at Channel 9 invited me to present this lesson series to demonstrate how easy and fun it is to build an entire Windows Store app from beginning to end. But this is more than just about having fun. Microsoft expects Windows 8 to be the largest developer opportunity ever. They expect millions of devices to be sold in hundreds of countries. And if they're right, and from an outsider's perspective, I tend to think that they will be, then there's a real opportunity here for you and I. I've owned my own company, like I said, for 10 years now, and getting visibility to your product or service is one of the largest challenges for a micro business owner. But the Windows Store promises to put your app in front of potentially millions, tens of millions of people. That's enough motivation for me to take this opportunity seriously. In fact, as soon as I finish this series of lessons, I'm back to working on an app that I started and I hope to launch as soon as possible. But back to the matter at hand. This series is a bit different from the other fundamental series that I've created for Channel 9, and I'm really excited about the format. I hope you like what we've come up with. The app that we're going to be building is the Contoso Cookbook, and the good news is that we're going to be following a hands-on lab that have been presented in Windows 8 camps around the world. Now, these camps were set up to help developers get up to speed quickly with building Windows Store apps. And I always enjoy working through the hands-on labs. I find them valuable as I start with a new technology. And this one is particularly well done, in my opinion. I learned enough and gained enough confidence from this hands-on lab to start building my own app. And while the goal is to follow the instructions in the hands-on lab, I do want us to take our time to really understand the why behind each step that we take. Now, the lab gives great instructions on what to do next, but I don't want us to just blindly sit here, type in code, and follow the instructions and not really understand what we're accomplishing. I want us to dig deeper because that's where the real value comes from in this exercise. Now, before we get started, it's important that you're already familiar with C Sharp. And if you're not, then please put this series on the back burner for just a couple of days and head on over to the Channel 9 C Sharp Fundamental Series for Absolute Beginners. I created that series with you, the absolute beginner, in mind. And from the number of views and the positive comments that it's gotten over the past year, it's proven to be a valuable resource for absolute beginners, so please avail yourself of that. And once you have a good understanding of the C# syntax, you'll be ready then to get started in this series. But let me warn you, we're going to cover many new topics very quickly, and the learning curve will seem really steep at times. Just be patient and make sure that you understand each idea before you move on to the next. One thing before we get started here, I want to stress that if you're already an experienced software developer, you're no stranger to Visual Studio or C#, you already know XAML and so forth, there might be other resources that are better suited for your skill set and that are paced more appropriately for you. In other words, this might not be the best use of your time because I plan on taking my time and making sure that no programmer is left behind. Okay. So besides having familiarity with C#, you're also going to need three or four things. The first thing you're going to need is Windows 8 installed. That's right. You can only build Windows Store apps when you're running on Windows 8. And frankly, that makes a lot of sense. I mean, you're only going to get a real feel for the modern UI if you're using some of the built-in Windows 8 apps. So this will help you whenever you're designing the user interaction for your own app. Second, you're going to need Visual Studio. Now, if you already own Visual Studio Professional 2012 or greater, then you're all set. If you don't have the Professional Edition or greater, then you're still in luck because you can download a free version of Visual Studio. It's called Visual Studio Express 2012 for Windows 8. In fact, that's what I'm going to be using throughout this series of lessons. So if you don't already have it installed, you can download Visual Studio Express 2012 for Windows 8 from this URL on screen. And the URL should always point you to the current location for the Express editions of Visual Studio. However, let's suppose for a moment that you're having a problem finding this resource or any resource that I reference throughout this series. URLs change occasionally. There are two places that I would always recommend you look first. First and foremost, you should be looking at the Windows Dev Center. It's at dev.windows.com. And I have it on good authority that there will always be a link to the resources you need to build and to learn how to build Windows Store apps. If all else fails, you can always go to bing.com and you should try a search in this format. Use site:microsoft.com or site:windows.com. Then whatever you're searching for, let's suppose it's Visual Studio 2012 Express in this case. And if you use that style of search, you should always get pointed in the right direction to download and install from Microsoft's website. Okay? Now, if you're using Visual Studio Express 2012 for Windows 8, once you have it installed, you may see the following message after you install it. And if you click the little link there, it'll take you to this page where you learn about the process of getting a developer license, what a developer license allows you to do, which is basically to sideload or rather deploy your app on other computers that also have a developer license, and that's for testing purposes and so on. You know, that document does a really good job of explaining the process, so I'm just going to leave that article for you to read on your own. All right, one quick note right off the bat. Let's launch Visual Studio here. Again, I'm using the Express 2012 for Windows 8. You might notice the difference in the color scheme by default. This dark color is the default in Visual Studio Express 2012 for Windows 8. I want to reiterate that these are merely cosmetic differences. You can and you should continue with this series regardless of which edition of Visual Studio you're currently using. If you want to make sure that your environment looks exactly like the environment you see here on my screen, you can do this. Go to Tools, Options, and under the Environment tab on the left, select General, and you'll want to switch from light to dark. And the other thing that I'm going to have you do, regardless of which edition of Visual Studio you're using, is also turn on line numbering so that I can reference line numbers and I can say, look at line number 34, look at line number 220, and then you'll be able to visually scan for it on the video. So to do that, I'm going to go to the text editor and select the C# text editor and turn on line numbering. And then I'm also going to go down here to this entry for XAML and turn on line numbering for that as well. Okay, let's continue on. We said that there are three or four things that you need for this series. We said Windows 8. We said some edition of Visual Studio. The third thing that you're going to need is the Contoso Cookbook Hands-On Lab. I'm going to be referencing it constantly throughout this series of lessons. And as we're getting started here, just a fair warning, there might be occasions where I'm not perfectly in step with the Hands-On Lab's instructions. I might skip a step or I might do several steps all in one batch, all right? So just, I generally try to explain why I'm doing what I'm doing, but I'm gonna be going through it much faster. You'll wanna be reading along, pausing the video, reading, pausing reading, and so forth, okay? So let's take a look at where you can find this. Go to aka.ms/Windows 8 Camp in a Box. All right, that's a short link that'll take you to the current location for the Windows 8 Camp in a Box where the hands-on labs are created. There are two links. There's this win8cs.setup.exe and then this win8jssetup.exe. We want the C# version for this series. And so just click download. It should put it in your downloads folder. I already took the liberty of doing this. And so I'm going to just double click this from my downloads folder. It opens up this nice installation dialog. I'm going to accept the license terms. And I'm going to install it where it suggests, right in the root of my C drive. So C:\win8cs. And after installation, it should open up a web page with the Welcome to Windows 8 Camp in a Box. And notice that it put a icon on our desktop, a quick hyperlink to get back to this page. Most of the work that we're going to be doing is in this hands-on lab icon. And we'll be working through all of the hands-on labs. They're all associated with the same project except for these last two, and we won't be talking about those. All right? All right. So we'll come back to this in just a moment. The fourth thing that you're going to need, the final thing that you'll need, is the files that are associated with this series of videos. Now, I've already finished this series, and I have the finished version of those files here on my desktop. So let me just open it up real quick. Now, as you go through this series, you may see other directories inside of here. I actually stripped them all out in this final version to keep this as small as possible. I began down the path of copying the entire project at the end of each video into its own folder, but then I came to my senses because honestly, there's really no need to redistribute all of the source code to the Contoso cookbook as I'm working on it. The file size, for starters, was overwhelming, all right? You would be better off relying on the hands-on lab's instructions as the definitive source for the code, all right? However, there are a few occasions where I'm going to create a side project to help reinforce some idea or some concept as we go along, or I'm going to share out a diagram. And so, as you can see, this only affects five projects. Or five lessons, lesson 3, 4, and 5, lesson 9, and 24. And at that time, you should look in this folder system for the given project or file that I'm referencing, okay? Additionally, for your convenience, I'm going to add the resources here that the lab references. So let me do that right now and show you what I'm doing. Let me go and find on my local C drive the Win8CS. I'm going to go into labs, and then the assets folder. And so instead of having to navigate that every time that the instructions tell you to go and find, for example, a data file or an image, what I'm just gonna merely do is just copy all of these files. I'm gonna drag and drop them into this resources folder. And then if you put it on your desktop, it'll always be easy to navigate to it from within Visual Studio. Okay, so this is just for convenience. You'll see me go into this resources folder to pluck out an image. It's identical wherever you wanna pull it from, okay? Now, where do you find this magical WinStore app dev underscore CS file that I'm talking about here? Well, look for the link. Hopefully, it's conspicuously located on this page and every page. Just maybe do a Control F on this web page that you're currently viewing this video on and search for download, and hopefully it'll be one of the links that you'll see near the text that explains what this video or any given video is about, the little introductory paragraph, okay? So hopefully you'll be able to easily find that. Let's close all this out. All right, so what exactly should you expect to learn from this series? I mean, you're gonna invest, I think it's 7 hours and 40 minutes of video content, listening to me talk. That's a large investment of time. So you might be asking yourself, why am I doing this? What do I hope to gain from it? Well, actually, you'll learn quite a bit. The Contoso Cookbook is a pretty comprehensive example of building an entire Windows Store app from beginning to end. So let's do this. Let's go to the samples, the blue icon, and we're gonna go down to the second example, this Contoso Cookbook, the XAML version, and I'm gonna go into the source folder, and I'm gonna double click on this little solution file for Contoso Cookbook. If you're using the Express Edition, it might pop up this little dialog. I'm gonna select okay, let's open it up with the Express Edition. And let's just run the app, the finished product, really quick, just to see what the features are and talk about the kinds of things that we're gonna learn in this series of lessons. All right, so if I try to run the app, I'll get an exception. It couldn't find something called Callisto. We'll explain what that is much later in this series of lessons. Just follow these examples if you want to follow along with me right now. I'm going to open up the references folder and I'm going to right click this word Callisto. You can see that it has a little caution symbol on its icon. I'm going to right click it and select remove. And then I'm going to right click the references folder and I'm going to select manage new get packages. And in the search online, I'm going to type in Callisto, two L's in Callisto, and hit return. And it should find this top Callisto. I'm going to click install. And after a moment, it should add it to my project. And now if I attempt to run the application, it should compile and now run full screen on my app. All right, so we have a beautifully branded application, beautiful color scheme. The photos are vibrant. There is a high degree of interactivity. If I were using my finger, I could use it to scroll across all these different types of cuisine, Chinese, French, German, and so on. I could select one of these items to see all of the recipes that are categorized as Chinese. It gives me this beautiful large image with a map of China and then the individual recipes that are associated with it. Notice I can navigate using these little navigation arrows. If I want to click into a specific recipe and learn more about it, the beautiful layout that occurs here with the ingredients and the directions, image, a start timer. Notice that there's these little icons that I can use to navigate back and forth. If I were using my my Surface or some other tablet, I could use my finger to go from one recipe to the next within a given category. There's another cool little feature here, semantic zooming, where I can get a high-level look at all of the recipes in a given category and then choose, oh, I want to look and see the Indian recipes, okay? There's also, if we right-click, we'll see that an app bar appears, and now we can do things like send a 15-minute reminder to ourselves to that I was going to create this recipe, or I can add a photo or a video of the final product and then share that via email or on some social network. And so as you go through this, there's quite a bit of functionality, right? So the first thing you're going to learn about is XAML, the programming language that you're going to use to create these user interfaces. We're going to spend two lessons. I call it kind of lovingly the Cheater's Guide to XAML. It's an introduction to XAML that hopefully will be simple enough but comprehensive enough that we can use that as the basis for moving forward, okay? You'll get the basics of XAML as fast as possible. Yeah, there's going to be a lot to learn after we finish those two lessons, but at least you should be able to understand the basics and navigate around in the project. And then after that, you're going to learn about Windows Store app templates in Visual Studio, which give you a great starting point for building apps. The templates in Visual Studio give you a head start. I use them when building my own app. We're going to see how we turn one of those templates into this app very quickly. So you start with the template and then you go on in and you start making tiny tweaks and changes to the various templates and items and so forth and tailor it to fit your needs. And then we're going to learn about the construction of data access classes to pull data into our app. And we're going to see two of them. The first one is part of the Visual Studio template. It just has some dummy data, some fake data. And then the other one that's specific to our Contoso cookbook app that pulls its data from a local file. All the directions, ingredients, the image locations, and so forth, they all come from that data file. They are actually loaded at runtime by a data access class that retrieves data from the text file in a special file format called JSON. If you watch the JavaScript series, you'll recognize the notation that you see here. And then the data access class, it parses through all of that JSON data and it creates instances of recipes and groups of recipes, collects them together, and then exposes those to instances of the user interface. And so I think that's a critical piece of this whole puzzle. I really want us to understand what's going on in those data access classes. So I'm planning on walking through virtually every line of code so that you can replace the data access class with your own in the future when you go off to build your own Windows Store app. So then we're also going to learn about the basics of WinRT or the Windows Runtime, which is essentially an API that exposes Windows 8 functionality to programmers. You're going to learn about the life cycle of a Windows Store app. In other words, we're going to learn how to respond to key moments in the execution of the application. There's a new execution model in Windows 8, and we need to, as programmers, become familiar with it and then understand what the ramifications are. For example, what happens when the user switches away from your application running full screen for a short period of time and then decides to come back to it? Okay, how should your application respond? What if they were to leave for a longer period of time? How should you as a developer preserve the last state of the app before the switch? So we're also going to talk about programmatically handling preferences that are saved for the user and handle them in such a way that the user can move from device to device to computer and the settings or the final state of the app where he left off from previously follow him along, okay, through a feature called roaming. You're also going to learn how to harness the various features of Windows 8 as a developer. As I mentioned a bit ago, picking a Windows Store app template in Visual Studio gives you a head start at creating a modern user interface aesthetic, but it also gives you a head start at making sure that the app looks good across a wide variety of device and display sizes. It utilizes things like snapping, which I haven't really talked about here, but if we want to, for example, snap our app in a smaller version of it and be able to continue to navigate through our app while working in some other app that's in the filled area off to the right-hand side. We want to make sure that our app still looks good in that. Notice how the orientation changed from horizontal now to vertical. All right, we're going to learn how to do all that as well. Let's go ahead and pull that over. From there, we're going to learn how to write code so that your Windows 8 app can utilize charms like we see right here. The search charm, the share charm. So these pop up whenever the user pulls out on a device from the right-hand side or positions their mouse in the lower right-hand corner, hits Command-I on the keyboard. It's kind of the main navigational scheme for Windows 8. So we can also use settings to allow the user to define settings for the app, and we're going to demonstrate how to do that. We can search within the app. For example, if we want to find all recipes that involve carrots, we can find them and also have them filtered by the various categories. Very cool. All this is made possible by implementing the appropriate contract, and we'll demonstrate how to implement those contracts later on in the series. And we're going to add integration with our computer's webcam, like I talked about a little bit earlier, so that we can take photos and videos from the webcam directly into the app. And then we're going to control how our app's tile is displayed here on the Windows Start page. We'll see that there are actually quite a few options, and we already see some of these from like the weather and the news app. How is this information updating? How do you get these tiles to move with the freshest information about your app? Or how do we allow deep linking into the app so that we can pin a specific recipe item to the start page and then always get back to that recipe? All right, so we're gonna demonstrate how to do all that. Near the end of this series, we're gonna demonstrate how to enable a trial period in our app and then show how we can enable in-app purchasing of individual items, like to, for example, expose some functionality. We're going to allow people to license the Italian recipes for an additional 99 cents, for example. All right? And that's all made possible by integrating with the Windows Store API. And then finally, as we work on this project together, we'll be using the Visual Studio IDE in ways that we haven't before when working through the C# Fundamental series. And so I'm going to highlight a few of the newest features that we've added, or that have been added in the 2012 version. And so once you have exposure to all of those ideas, you'll be able to start conceiving of your own app ideas and hopefully start formulating in your mind and you know how your app would work, and then begin to implement the idea in Visual Studio, and then ultimately submit your app to the Windows Store, which is the aim here, okay? You may already have some experience in some topic or interest area, and you want to build an app around that idea. Or you may personally have always thought that you had a particular need and no app seemed to address it. Well, now's your opportunity to build it, to make it look good, and then profit from it. That's pretty exciting to me. That's it stirs up the sense of creativity that I haven't had in a long time, okay? I want you to be able to get the most out of this series and the time that you invest in this series. So to do that, there's a couple of things that I'd recommend. You need to become an active learner, and that really takes three forms. The first is that you need to follow along, and as I love to say, get your hands dirty in the code. Watching somebody else writing code can be boring, okay? You should be following along. You should be doing what I'm doing on screen, okay? You'll begin to get insights, and you'll have questions that, hopefully, I'll be able to answer throughout the videos. And so it'll begin to feel like you and I are working together, we're having this conversation, rather than simply listening to just another presenter blather on, okay? We don't want that. Secondly, to follow along effectively, you need to pause and rewind the video, or maybe even watch the video a second time. you can't watch a video screencast tutorial the same way that you watch a movie or a TV show. You have to pause it. You have to think about it. You have to rewind it, all right? So you need to consume this differently. Don't get in the habit of just watching and then letting questions formulate and then never really satisfying that intellectual curiosity. You need to dig deeper for the information, and that requires a different style of consuming this information, all right? And then third, if something doesn't make sense or I haven't adequately explained myself to help you understand it well, well, don't hesitate to ask questions in the comments area below. We need to make sure that you get this under your belt. So don't just sit there and be confused. Ask. I promise I'll try to answer any questions that you have. And if I can't, I know I can find some people that can help answer your question, okay? There are absolutely no dumb questions. Okay, finally, as you can see, as we said a moment ago, I have Visual Studio Express 2012 for Windows 8 open. And in the past, I've adjusted the font size, but what happens then is that I can't fit as much information on screen. So I'm going to take a slightly different tack this time, and I'm going to zoom in like I'm doing right now so that you can see the main area where the code is displayed. Now, I'm recording this video at 720p, which is a resolution of 1280 by 720. It's a high-def resolution. However, when it's hosted on Channel 9's page and their default viewer, it'll appear maybe about a third of that size. So if for some reason you can't read the text on my screen, then you're going to need to do one of two things. Either you're going to need to go full screen. There should be an icon in the player in the lower right-hand side as you're looking at it. And in order to go full screen, and then use the escape key on your keyboard to go back to just the web page with the player embedded. Or, secondly, you'll need to use one of the links on the right-hand side, I think it's over here, of your video, of this video, and then download the video to your local desktop and watch it locally. If the text seems garbled to you and you can't quite read it, it could be due to how Silverlight Smooth Streaming adjusts the quality based on the speed of your internet connection. If you have a high degree of bandwidth and a great connection to Microsoft servers, then it should seem crystal clear. If it seems fuzzy or garbled, then you're probably on an internet connection that's lower. Silverlight doesn't give you as many bits, okay, across the wire, just to make sure that the experience doesn't crawl to a stop. All right, so if one of those video formats don't work for you, then try another. I believe there's both WMV and MP4. One of those has to work. If you have sound problems, people have had this problem in the past, make sure you ask in the forums and somebody will help you get it resolved. Okay, I think that's all of the errata that we need to cover for now. Earlier I said building Windows Store apps is really fun. I had a blast working on my own Windows Store app the last couple of weeks. But while it is fun, it can be challenging at times. If you're like me, you might get a little discouraged when you run into roadblocks. As I was learning all of this, there were moments where I felt overwhelmed with just the sheer amount of information I had to understand. So as you go through this series, please know, I totally get it. I would just encourage you at the outset to do this. First, whatever the roadblock, I'm going to assume that it's some concept that we cover in the series, or perhaps it's some feature that you want to implement in your app, or perhaps some code that isn't doing what you expected it to do. Stop, stare at it for a while, and try to isolate in your mind what the real issue is. If I'm able to clear my mind and pinpoint, isolate where I'm getting stuck, that's a great start. If I just start panicking and trying silly things, anything that comes to my mind to kind of fix the problem, it can lead me away from the real problem. I try to slow down. I even try to write a sentence with a piece of paper and a pen. Remember those? Or I write it in a code comment to succinctly state what it is I'm trying to do and what the actual behavior is. And that tends to help lead me in the right direction. So that's number one. Once I get some clarity on what's tripping me up, then I start reading everything I can find on the topic. I consult Microsoft's documentation often, and that usually helps me realize that maybe I had a fundamental misunderstanding of what a given idea was. So the longer I stare at a problem and chip away at it like a detective would put together clues to solve a case, inevitably I figure it out. Secondly, ask questions. You're not in this by yourself. Don't feel like you have to solve everything on your own. There are plenty of people that are willing to help. If you search for my handle on Microsoft's forums dedicated to building Windows Store apps, you're going to see I had a lot of dumb questions that I asked. But there's always some soul, a kind soul that would come to the rescue and would answer them and lay it out for me. So if there's something you don't understand in this series, please don't be shy. Ask questions in the comments area below. And then thirdly, somebody once said, and I love this quote, I have it hanging up in my office, genius is perseverance in disguise. I love that. Stick with this. Just keep taking baby steps towards a better understanding and then be patient with yourself. This is a long video series. Like I said, it's going to be like 7 hours and 40 minutes. It'll take a serious commitment of your time, but if you put in the time, I promise you're going to be well on your way to having a strong grasp of how to build great Windows Store apps. And the same is true when you're actually building your apps. Commit up front that you're going to see your little project all the way through to the end and don't let anything stop you. All right. So as you can tell, I'm really excited. This is awesome content. I'm excited to be working through it with you. We're out there on the bleeding edge. We're going to be building great looking apps that other people are going to get to enjoy and that we're going to be able to profit from. So I'm looking forward to this series and I hope you are too. Let's get started building our project in the very next video. We'll see you there. Thank you. Thank you.